Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. We welcome you, sir. Thanks for joining us. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. This is the word of the Lord. Please give your careful and special attention to it, that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, may speak to you, even as we read it. But I concern concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, words. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for these words. We thank you for all of your word, Lord, which is a comfort and which instructs us and which keeps us from being ignorant about things. We pray, Lord, now that you by your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and minds, comfort and encourage us, strengthen us to grieve and to sorrow, but also strengthen us to hope and to have joy. Please work in our hearts now, Lord, by your Spirit and through the reading and preaching of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have noticed so far how rich the word of God is, how it addresses all parts of our life. As we have sung from the Psalms, which speak to how we live in this life and how our days are numbered in this life, and even as we pass from this life to go and be with the Lord for all those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord is so good to us. He has also built into us, into our lives, into our souls, into our spirits, emotions that help us deal with all kinds of situations that we face. And as we, as a church, and as the Freeman family faces the passing of Ron this week, I've decided to move from the book of Hebrews to this chapter because it's very appropriate for us to be reminded of what the Lord does for somebody who passes on. If you were to read the book of 1 Thessalonians, you would see that this is not how Paul started out. This is not where he was especially heading. But as he had sent Timothy to minister them, and Timothy comes back to Paul and tells them how things are going at the church in Thessalonica, they have this question who die and pass away in this life, and Jesus hasn't returned yet. Do they miss going up to be with the Lord? So this is one of the things that Paul is answering for them and will minister to us as well. But it's not only that. It's not only this information, but it is what this information is supposed to do. It is supposed to remind us that we are a people who do sorrow, but not without hope. When tragedy and difficult things come in our life, like death of a loved one, we do sorrow. But we are not like those who sorrow through the same things. Other people who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they sorrow. They suffer and they grieve. But they are without hope. But we are not like them. And I hope that through the use of God's word this morning that we have already read in Ezekiel, and as we have sung God's word, I hope that you will be encouraged to use His word and the emotions that God has supplied you with by His grace and mercy to not only sorrow, but to rejoice. Because that is two particular emotions that we probably, all of us, are experiencing at this time. Sorrow and joy. It is a wonderful thing to be able to be sorrowful and joyful at the same time. And it is a peculiar thing that is to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, those who have professed faith in Him, that we at the same time can be sorrowful and joyful. For as I say again, as we read here in Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul writes to them concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And so this message here in 1 Thessalonians is one of prevention. The Spirit of God seeks to prevent you from sorrowing without hope. And it is the Apostle Paul's intention in this passage to minister to those who he was writing to at that time and to us as well, to mingle sorrow and joy together. And I want you to hope, and hopefully you will see that it is not his intention to keep you from sorrowing. He is not saying, you shouldn't be sorrowing, you should be just joyful. He is not saying that at all. God has given us that ability to mourn, to be sorrowful, especially around times of people dying. It is something God has given us to deal with death. But He has also given us the ability to rejoice in times of death. And we only need to look to Jesus to see that, right? We look at Jesus Christ and we see Him at the death of His good friend Lazarus. He was sorrowful. He was sad about the impact that death was having about and on his friend Lazarus. The true man of God, the true son of God, experienced these feelings and emotions when Lazarus, his friend, died. We would learn from there, if we were to go there, that Jesus was glad with Lazarus or that family, so that those around him, his disciples, in the near day would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who he was. We all, Martha and others there, were weeping over the death of Lazarus. And the Bible groaned in his spirit and was troubled about all this. We only need to look to Jesus to see the sinless Son of Man, that sorrow over death is right. Jesus Christ suffered grief and sorrow, probably at a scale that we cannot even comprehend. He being the Prince of Life and the Giver of Life, and knowing all things, being the Son of God, knew what death was really all about. And it caused him to suffer grief and sorrow. But his sorrow was not without joy. For he knew that even in this day of Lazarus' death, that God would be glorified in the resurrection of Lazarus, here in just a few moments, according to his timing there. But not only rejoicing that Lazarus would live again on this earth, but that living was all based on the resurrection of Christ himself. And so it is for us as well, that we can be both sorrowful and rejoicing because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul tells the Thessalonians here. This is the basis for everything that he is going to say to them. And so it also teaches us that we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can grieve. We ought to grieve. And we ought to do it mixed with joy. That is the hope that Paul says we have. And in this hope, the certainty of the bodily resurrection, in verses 13 to 14, the certainty of the bodily resurrection, verses 15 to 17, we're going to see the call on the body, the call of the bodily resurrection. And then lastly, in the last two verses, we'll see the comfort of the bodily resurrection. And so first let us look then at the certainty of the bodily resurrection that we see here in verse 13. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, this intention here is that you not sorrow without hope, but that you sorrow with hope. And he is going to go on to talk about what that hope is. One thing that Paul does in the ministry he had with the different churches in these different cities, that as he wrote that he had about or concerns that they had, that they didn't understand things or concerned about things that were going on in their church. And here in verses 13 to 18, he is addressing a concern that they had about fellow believers who had passed on and Jesus has not yet returned. What happens to them? It's a very, very real possibility that as Paul had been preaching, and we'll look at this here in just a moment, as he had been preaching the gospel, the return to them as well at the same time. And so they knew Jesus was coming. They didn't know when. Paul had not told them when. He could not tell them when. But they knew that Jesus was coming, and they may even in their day thought, he may come. And folks, he may come during your lifetime. We don't know that. We don't know that. But certainly they thought, if he does come while we are still alive, what happens to our loved ones who are in their bodies are in the grave? They were looking for the this concern. And so we see the as he talks about it often throughout these letters, but he also preached the coming of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, he refers to them already waiting on the Lord to return. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, he refers to his crown of rejoicing over Jesus when he comes. In chapter 3, verse 13, he again points them to what they already know, that Jesus is coming with all his saints. So while they caused their concern, while they were believing that Jesus was coming again, their confusion was with what would happen to those who had already passed on. And in Paul's answer to them, he gives us the certainty of the body to be resurrected. And this grieved the law before Christ's return. It was for them then, and it is for us today. As we find in ourselves in that situation, we have in times past, as well as we think about Ron, you have done this before, and you will probably have to do it again. See someone pass from this life. And grieve and sorrow. And hopefully, they would be someone who knows the Lord. Whereas you could also rejoice and have great hope. So Paul's goal here is to present to you the certainty of that hope which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he tells us in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, Jesus coming again and bringing people who are asleep up from the grave and into glory is not based on whether you believe it or not. What Paul is saying here is that if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected and was raised up from the grave and ascended to God's right hand, then you should also believe that when he comes back, he will raise up the dead in Christ, those who are asleep. If you believe the one, then believe the other. And he doesn't want not believe in the resurrection of Christ in the body. But he's not prohibiting sorrow. He's not prohibiting grief. In fact, he implies that you are going to be grieving about these situations. And he, in fact, almost put him in a position of this as well. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 27, he said this about his fellow worker and friend Epaphroditus. He says, yet I to you, a worker and fellow soldier, your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you have. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God not only on him, but on me also. You see, Paul recognized that sorrow was right, and sorrow was something he was very close to doing about Epaphroditus, because he almost died. And not only would he be losing a fellow brother in the Lord, but he would be losing someone who had been ministering to his needs. And so he recognized that sorrow was real. And so it's real to us. God has given us the ability to be sorrowful and yet to be hopeful. Hopeful in a certain way, not hopeful in a, we hope it might happen. And I recognize that sorrow and grief is something that we all experience. The closer someone is to us, the greater that sorrow will be. And that is something that God has built into us as a person created in the image of God. But again, our sorrow is not as one without hope. We have reasons to hope. Certain reasons. And the certainty of Christ's resurrection is our primary reason. Paul clearly stated it here in verse 14. If Jesus died and rose again, then God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. The Bible tells us elsewhere that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This didn't seem to be the issue that the Thessalonians were having. The issue is not, has the spirit of that person gone on to be with the Lord? The issue is what's happening with his body. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us that those who are absent from the Lord, absent from the body, will be present with the Lord. Psalm 49:15 tells us, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. He shall receive me. The body remains here on the earth until Jesus returns, and God will bring those who sleep in Jesus with him. I want to talk to you about this word sleep. Twice in this passage, Paul refers to those who have fallen. Then he just say, those who have died in Christ. Well, the word temporary nature of things. The world looks at death as permanent. We don't. It is temporary for the body. And the soul never dies, but goes on to be with the Lord. But that body that we're so familiar with, of seeing and touching and feeling and relating to, it's just temporary. And so Paul calls death, sleep, in other places as well. You recall Jesus, and when he was talking to his disciples about in John chapter 11, he said to them, I sleeps. Because it was temporary. Because Lazarus was going to be raised again, even miraculously. His disciples thought he meant that Lazarus was sick. And so they said to him, well, if he's just sleeping, then he'll wake up. And while they thought he was speaking about sleep or sickness, Jesus was talking about the fact that Lazarus had died and that he would, in fact, wake up. But this is not just only a New Testament idea. One of the greatest testimonies about this body dying and being resurrected is in the book of Job. Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. And I want to turn there. It's such a wonderful testimony, Job 19. Verses 25 to 27. Such a wonderful testimony of someone who has faith in God and the resurrection and being redeemed. It is a resurrection message all of its own. Job 19. Verses 25 to 27 tells us this. For I know, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And this is Job's way of saying, my body. This I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart in me. Job says a lot here in these few words. I know. The only Redeemer is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. I know. He shall. He's speaking of Jesus. Destroyed this flesh in my body. I with these eyes. Joseph, resurrection of his own body. He was in great sorrow. He had lost life. He had lost. He was being stricken by God. And he hoped that he would see the Lord in his own body. You might say Job speaks stronger to the bodily resurrection than even Paul does here in these brief verses. We could also look to Romans chapter 4, where he talks about the redemption of our bodies is our hope. And then Philippians 3, verses 20 to 21, which I would like to go there. So important that we understand not only that our bodies will be resurrected, but what they will be like. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. And here from God's word we see this: for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Well, what was Jesus' body like after his resurrection, after he died? The Bible tells us it was physical. It was much like his body before he was crucified. He even told people to look into my hands and to look at my feet and to look at my side and see the holes. You don't look into somebody's spirit and see those things. You don't put your hand in somebody's hand that's been nailed with nails and touch that. He had when he tells us fish and he walked and he talked. He had a real body. Even in the tomb, when he was raised from the dead and Mary saw him, he said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father." He was raised with a body. So shall the Christian be raised with a body. A real body. Glory. Not the same body. The same body, yes, that you have, but not a body of corruption, but a body of incorruption. And that's what we read in 1 Corinthians 15. And let's turn there, because this passage is so powerful. Verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15. So all about different bodies, stars and different terrestrial bodies, they're all different. He says, so all the body is in incorruption. It is sown in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, a living spirit. Talking about Jesus. How natural and afterward the spiritual. The first man of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, us. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly, us who are in Christ Jesus. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the man. Our body will be resurrected and be made like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory. That is what Paul is telling us. That is what we should be looking forward to in hope. That is the future of the body of those who hope, whose hope is in the Lord. Yes, we grieve and we sorrow. We sorrow over losing loved ones. We sorrow because we know that sin caused that loss Sin caused the loss and death of a relationship with God Himself, and the curse of sin brings death upon all men. But the gift of life is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so we not only grieve and sorrow, but we also rejoice in the true knowledge that thereby a new glory and go to be with the Lord. Paul not only tells them the certainty that this is going to happen, as sure as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection, believe in the death and resurrection of the bodies of those who are asleep in Jesus temporarily. But he also tells them how this will happen. He describes the calling up of our bodies, and that's what we see in verse 15 to 17. The call of the bodily resurrection. And here, Paul addresses the call that will come to those who sleep in Jesus. And this, too, is a certain hope. For it comes from the word of the Lord, as he says here in verse 15. He says that this comes from the word of the Lord. For this we say to you by... He says this is how it's going to happen. He said the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58. The dead will be raised incorruptible. He says, we shall not all be corrupted. Well, some will sleep in temporary death. Some are sleeping now in temporary death. And some of us, many of us, will yet sleep in temporary death before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 tells us the order of how this is going to happen. We don't know when, but it tells us here in verse 15, first Christ will descend from heaven with a shout. And just as he called Lazarus, he will call his people who are sleeping from their graves. The dead in Christ will come up first. And make no mistake that there is a clarification here. It is the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ. Not just dead, but the dead in Christ. And oftentimes this world thinks that the way you get to be with God is you just have to die. But it is clarified here that it is only the dead in Christ who will be raised up to be with the Lord forever. It is the dead in Christ. The dead who are trusting, or who have trusted rather, in Christ Jesus when they were here on this earth. They will be raised up. Those who are alive when Jesus returns will be raised up and be with them together in the air with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is just as certain as the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is telling them. That just as God raised Jesus up from the dead and seated him at his right hand to be with him forever in his glory, so shall your body be raised. And so shall all those who remain on this earth when Jesus Christ comes. So your sorrow in losing someone we love in this life. That is where our sorrow is, because we will not see them. We've had them. We've been with them. That is real. But our rejoicing, whether we die or live at Jesus' coming, will be bearing the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ. That's how much our bodies are going to change. We're going to be made like Jesus in all things. Bearing His image. And in that we can rejoice. We also rejoice, as the Scripture tells us here, not only will we be raised with new bodies, but we'll be raised to be with Jesus forever. And my friends, if that does not comfort you, then you need to come to Jesus in this life now. Because if that does not comfort you, then you don't know Jesus now. Job said, my heart yearns to be with my Redeemer. Our hearts should be yearning to be with Jesus. And if we are not, we should wonder why. These words are meant to comfort us. These words are meant to give us certainty and hope in the midst of our suffering, our sorrow, and our grief. And so the last part of verse 17 and verse 18 tells us here, we shall all comfort. All are to be your comfort in times of sorrow about death. They are to be the truths that allow you at the same time to be both sorrowful and joyful. And so I say to you this morning, not only today, but in coming days, maybe coming years, we never know. But grieve as much as you need to grieve about losing a loved one. There is no time limit. And there is no way that is prescribed for grieving. That is between you and the Lord. But He has given you gifts. He has given you emotions that you may sorrow and you may grieve. But He's not left you ignorant. He's not left you wondering, what about those who have gone before me, those who have gone before the Lord returns? He says, you have hope. It is certain as Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, that those who sleep will also be raised. This is to comfort you because you will be with the Lord forever. And I want to just tackle that issue for a minute. What does it mean to be with Jesus forever? It means that this whole world has to be Lord for us again. We will have forever like it was intended to be in the garden. No death, no sickness, no sin. Pure, righteous, holy fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And again, I say to you that if that does not cause you to yearn to be with the Lord in heaven, then maybe you're not with the Lord now. Think about that, folks. Do you want to be with Jesus forever? Again, Job said, my heart yearns to be with Him. And Jesus desires that you be with Him. Does He not? Even in this life, even amongst our relations with one another, don't we like it when someone says, hey, I would like to spend time with you. Why don't you come over and spend time with me? We like that. And Jesus says, I want you to be with me where I am, that you may see my glory. When someone says to you, hey, why don't you come over and let's spend some time, let's hang out together, that makes us feel good, but it fails in comparison to hearing Jesus say, I want you to be with me in my glory. That's what he prayed to the Father, that all those who believe and trust in him would be brought to him and be with him and see his glory. This is the certainty and the calling and the comfort of being in Jesus Christ, whether we sleep or whether we are awake in His coming, that we will be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul goes on to talk about this a little bit, and he says, for God, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, awake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Live together with Him. Live together in perfect holiness, us. Together with Him forever in glory. May our hearts yearn for that. And may that be our comfort here in this life even as we see loved ones pass away, so that we will not sorrow as those who are without hope. For we have the hope, we who are in Jesus Christ, our hope. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do pray, Lord, that you would write your scriptures. Write them, Lord, on our hearts. Cause them, Lord, to stay there. Help us to not forget these things, these gifts, and these encouragements, Lord, that you have provided for us. We pray, Father, that you would write them on our hearts, that we might be encouraged today and in the coming days and in the future years. That we are a people who can sorrow because of death, but we do not sorrow without hope, but rejoice in the resurrection of the body, the certainty of it, and the calling of it, and the comfort to know that though our souls to be going away from our bodies, these bodies will be resurrected and made like that body of Jesus Christ. Father, comfort us.